018 Maximize Your Health, Ken. 26th of February 2012.
The word I've been preparing and I started with this a week or two ago was maximize your health.
Amen.
Maximize your health. It's quite. And, you know, God tells us a lot of different things in the Word of God, and some are a lifestyle instructions or guidance. Now, we all get conditions, health conditions at different times, some more severe than others, and sometimes we don't know why they come. Sometimes we think, oh, what have I done wrong to get that? Or why have I got this? Why is this on me? And there's one instance in John chapter 9 where somebody asked Jesus that very question. Why was this man born blind? Why? Has he sinned? What's he done? What's his parents done? And Jesus turned to him and says, it's not his parents and it's not him. No. He says, there's nothing. And I just wrote down what his reply was. The wording might be slightly different in the different versions, but it says, Jesus says, in order that the works of God might be displayed in him.
Amen.
Now you can read that however you want. Whether it was going to heal him or whether the fact that he got that condition was giving him a special area of ministry or not, I do not know.
Yeah.
But Jesus was quite clear that it wasn't the fault of the person.
Yeah.
We can't explain why some people get illnesses and others don't.
Yeah.
You know, some people are exposed to the same viruses and one gets it, the other doesn't, and you know, and there's different conditions that occur, like Carol's having to go through this operation. You know, and you sort of think, why? And we don't really know. We can't answer that. God knows. God's got all the answers. But we can maximise our health. Now, when I say maximise our health, I mean we can put into our life and our lifestyle what's going to give us the best benefit and the best chances. And it's wonderful that God's put recipes in the Word of God. Now, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 3, now I'd call this proverb, I would call this a recipe proverb. Because
yeah.
It's got so much in it.
Yeah.
And it's there to help us. And we'll tread through this a little bit. We have two natures at work in us, and one of the natures is very selfish.
Yeah.
But not necessarily in a good way. Somebody that likes chocolate to a large extent might get a box of chocolates, in half an hour they've gone.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't really a way to eat the box of chocolates. Might be Toblerones, you know, it might be, you know, Middle Licorice All Stars or something else. But sometimes we have this ability to selfishly indulge, but then pay for it later. But God's into us, building into our lives a style and a culture of living that's going to be to our benefit.
Yeah.
He says he loves us and he does.
He does.
And he wants the best for us. And that's not just the spiritual best. That's going to be for our bodies as well. So what does it say in Proverbs chapter 3? We'll start right at the beginning. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Now the interesting thing, that it's a small m there in my Bible. It's not a direct thing from God, but you can say that we must not forget God's teaching. Even the teaching of our parents. But it says, but let your heart keep my commandments. Sometimes we rebel because our desires conflict with God's best interests for us. And sometimes our desires win. But you see, there's a wonderful... It gives you the recipe there of not forgetting his teaching and to keep his commandments. And it tells you what the mixture produces. The mixture produces length of days and years of life. That gives you the best chance of length of days and years of life. And he says, and peace they will add to you. You know, one of the struggles that we have in life sometimes is with conscience. Because we've done things in the past that God's forgiven us for, but we haven't forgiven ourselves. And every so often, they'll rise up. And they'll rob us of what God wants us to have in our lives. His peace. He's forgiven us. He's given us peace. And then we throw it away and we get the garbage back again. But God's got this. He says, look, if you look at my teachings and my commandments and see what they say and what they can do in your life, he says, it'll bring you into health. And like Paul says, sometimes we've got to say, forget what's behind. Forget what's gone. You know, so often, so many people says to us, well, you know, I've done such in the past. God will never love me. And God don't want me. And yet, he's the one you're the one that he's looking for. He says he'll leave the 99 sheep and he'll go and look for you. Special, go and look for you. And the man that was praying and he kept afar off, he just felt so unworthy. He was the one that was justified, not the one that was proud and hearty. And it was a humble heart that God responded to. So God's desire is that we have length of days and peace.
Amen.
And he's told us to get it. We've got to embrace him, his teaching, his commandments. I don't know, we've got the Ten Commandments, but you see they're wrapped up in two, aren't they? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, and love your neighbour as yourself. That's all we need to remember. We don't need to go down the list. Because if what we do are fitting into those, it automatically covers the whole list. And in verse 3 it says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. We can so easily fall down on those for convenience sake. We can be a bit diverse on the truth. Kindness sometimes can go out of the window if we feel angry or we feel out of sorts. We can so easily fling that anger at others. But it says, don't let kindness leave you. Don't let truth leave you. I just wrote at the side of these, he says that these are character foundation blocks. Kindness and truth. You can do a tremendous amount with kindness. You can also do a tremendous amount with anger. But the kindness is a building block. Anger is a destructive. And if we can grasp hold and walk in kindness and truth, it rubs off on others. People respond to kindness. People respond to truth. People don't respond very, very well to being lied to. Part of it destroys trust. And trust takes a long time to build up. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. See, it's not just in there. It's got. If you're trying to work it out in your intellect all the time, what I should do and what I shouldn't do, you've got to get it more often wrong than right.
Yeah.
But if it's in there, then the kindness and the truth and the commandments of God, if they're in there, then they're coming from the very source. Everything that you do is from the very source of where they are.
Yeah.
So we run in kindness, we run in truth, and we're following God's teaching without sometimes really consciously knowing it.
Yeah.
And it says in verse 4, it says, so you will find favour and good repute in the sight of God and man. Now, somebody that's straight and upright and truthful and kind is going to be looked on well by others.
Yeah.
They're the sort of person you want to be around, you like to be with. Because they're going to be kind to you. You know you're not going to get hostility from them, they're going to be kind to you. And that's nice. It's nice to receive kindness, isn't it? It's nice to have kindness poured on you.
Yeah.
And to know the truth, to know that they're always going to be straight and true. That's good. Sometimes, you know, you need a very close friend to tell you the truth. It's if a stranger came along and said, you pong mate, you'll think, who's he? But if your closest friend tells you, you know they're telling you the truth. And you know they're telling you for the right reasons. That verse 5 is very interesting because it's a well-known one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. What does that mean? Well, we know what it means to lean on someone or to lean on something. But what about and lean not on your own understanding? Well, have you ever had a problem, you faced a problem and you've tried to work it out? You try to work through it, you try to work the solution out, and you've tried to do it all on your own. And then you find that the actual solution is completely different to all the various ones that you worked out. And if only you'd have gone to God and said, look, what's the solution? Take me through this.
Yeah.
Take me through this and show me the way through. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try and work the... What, one of the areas of stress we get, and I know this firsthand, is that we try and work things out ourselves and we think there is no one to help. There's no one else going to find the answer. And one of the last things we do is turn to God for the answer. But God has our best interest at heart. So if we're going to find the right way through something, we've got to find the right answers. We've got to go to Him. We've got to get the answers from Him. And if they don't come straight away, we've got to wait.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to wait.
Yeah.
We'll run ahead. They said, don't make decisions. Don't make life-changing decisions when you're in an emotional state. Because the decisions are based on your emotions and not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Verse 6, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him.
Yeah.
Now, acknowledge is a little bit ambiguous to us. We don't tend to use that in that context. But if I put, in all your ways, know Him. In all your ways, know Him. If everything you do is wrapped up in Him, if everything we embark on is coming out of here and He's involved right in the centre of us, then all our ways, He's going to be there. We're in Him and He's in us. We know Him and He knows us. And He says, He will make your path straight. He will iron out the way.
Yeah.
He will make it plain and straight and comfortable, easy.
Yeah.
One of the things that we say sometimes is we hit a problem and we shy away from it. So for some reason we fall down and we hit this particular problem. And we, what we say is, we go around the mountain. Because until we've managed to succeed and go through the problem and work it out successfully, we can't go any further. So we go around the mountain and we hit the same principle again. Might not be to the same circumstance, but there'll be the same principle facing us again. That we have to go through for God to show us where we need to be, what we need to be doing, what we need to be learning. Because we're growing. Day by day we're growing. Physically we might have stopped growing and we might be shrinking, but spiritually we're always growing. And we need to know him for him to guide us through. And he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, self-opinionated wisdom is pride and arrogance and conceit. The things that are alien to God. We need to be humble enough to realize that we need God in our lives. One of the problems in this nation today is people feel they are self-sufficient. Because science has come up with a number of answers to things, probably creating more questions than answers actually, but the knowledge through science these days is a lot greater than it was 50 or 100 years ago. And people feel they are self-sufficient now. They have a knowledge of science. They have a knowledge of what's inside the atom and different things. So it gives them a sense of being wise in their own eyes. I know what it's all about. Yeah. You see, science falls down because it still can't answer, why are we here? No. Oh, we can tell you we came from what and this and that, they tell us, and whether they're right or not is another matter, but it doesn't tell them why. Nowhere along the story does it tell them why. They can't answer that. It's not in the scientific remit to tell us why we are here. So don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't get conceited and proud. It says, fear the Lord. Revere, have reverence for the Lord, and turn away from evil. That's a recipe. What's it produce? Verse 8. It will be healing to your body. Healing to your body. Now, I didn't think that arrogance and pride, I didn't think that was going to make me ill. But really, it is, because if I go down that road, there's other character traits go with it. Yeah. But it says, if I'm not wise in my own eyes and I fear the Lord, he says, it's going to be healing to my body. Amen. It's going to be refreshment to my bones. Yeah. It's going to be to my benefit. Yeah. It's wonderful that, you know, that what are seemingly little things are actually so major. The major parts of our lives. Tells us in verse 9, it says, honour the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruits of all your produce. You know, one of the most difficult things sometimes, even for a Christian, is to loose your purse strings. Yeah. Is to open the wallet. One of the most difficult things. Yeah. But it says to honour the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all you produce. You know, you think, you start, you go through education and then you start a job. What's the first fruits? Well, it'd be your first wage packet, wouldn't it? Yeah. Honour the Lord with your first wage packet. Yeah. Give to the Lord. The strange thing is, when we take out of our wealth and give to what the Lord tells us to give, we get richer.
Yes, we do.
Now, that doesn't follow the logic of the world. The world says, if you take out of your money, you give it away, you have less. But God says, no, if you take out of your wealth and give it to the right, plant the right seeds, it says, verse 10, your barns will be filled with plenty. Your barns will be filled with plenty. That's illogical. Spot wouldn't be able to understand that, would he?
No.
But giving to God makes you rich. And it's not only in financial terms. But giving to God makes you rich.
Absolutely.
It says, and your vats will overflow with new wine. How wonderful the Lord is.
Yeah.
See, when God put that together, he wasn't only thinking about us, the giver, he would also be thinking about the receiver.
Yeah.
How else are they going to get what they need, except someone gives?
Mm-hmm.
But you see, for us, with the ability to give, he says, I've a way to make you rich. You imagine the financial advisor coming and saying, I've a way to make you rich. Give all your money away and you'll be rich. But actually Jesus said that to somebody, didn't he? He says, give all your wealth away and you will have riches in the kingdom of God. But you see, what Jesus was telling him about the riches, regardless of material wealth, he says, you will have a richness in your life that you could never get from all the money you've got.
That's right.
You know, all the Paul Gettys and the Howard Hughes's never found the peace of God in their lives for all the wealth.
Yeah.
And there's very many people who work all their lives to amass wealth and they forget what life's all about.
Yeah.
They think it's just a machinery for amassing wealth. But God's got something far greater than wealth could ever give. But God's logic is so powerful. Give away and you get more.
Yeah.
Give away and you get more. Hallelujah. Verse 11 it says, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. Now, I've said this before, that we take the word discipline and we always put punishment with it. We always say, but discipline actually means training.
Yeah.
It means instruction and training.
Yeah.
So it might involve a little bit of punishment along the way, but its main thrust, its main definition, is training.
Yeah.
My son, do not reject the training of the Lord.
Mm.
All what we've read up to now is all training. And it's training to give us a life. Remember what I said, the title today was Maximize Your Health.
Yeah.
These things are bringing, maximizing your health.
Mm-hmm.
Making your path straight. Healing your body. Filling your barns. Length of days and peace are all being added to you. Don't reject the training of God. Or loathe his reproof. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes God certainly had to rattle my knuckles.
Yeah.
You know, I've had wrong motives or selfish desires or whatever, and sometimes they've taken over. And I suppose at that time I've sort of shoved God down. I want what I want, and you get blinkered, and you know, I think we've all done it to some extent at some time. But God sometimes has to pull us up and say, just a minute. And at that time it might feel quite painful when we are rebuked by him. But it says, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves. That's verse 12. Whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Even as a father, the son in whom he delights. No, father and son relationship. Now, anybody that's had a father who's failed them won't really, or will find it difficult to grasp hold of that. But think of a perfect father. If you had a perfect father, and what he would be like. You know, try and imagine that. And then that's who God is. He's the perfect father. He has your best interest at heart. All the time. Every time. Verse 13 says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now, I've always found like wisdom a difficult thing to grasp hold of. I won't say I'm a wise individual. So it's a hard one for me to get my teeth into where it says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. But you see, we're not talking about intelligence. We're not talking about intellect. One of the keys to wisdom is to realising that God has the answer and going to him for the answer. Not that in our own intellect we're able to fathom it out. The man who gains understanding. You can stand around in a crowd and see a person that's hurting in the crowd. That doesn't take intellect. You can see it on the face. You can see it in the body language. Wisdom and understanding aren't just to do with how much knowledge you have of computers and the how the world operates today. It's not to do with that. It's to do with our relationship with God and other people. And it says in verse 14, it says, for its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. It's profitable. It's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares to her. And look what it says in verse 16. Long life is in her right hand. Just having that wisdom and understanding. It's I suppose another word is to use having an awareness. Awareness of those around us. Awareness of others that, you know, some people like to have the front seat in a you're going to a show, right? You're going to a show, and everybody would like to be at the front to see the show. Now, if you were 7 foot tall and you got a front seat in the show, those behind you would suffer, wouldn't they? They wouldn't be able to see. So, the man that's 7 foot tall, if he'd anything about him, would think, yeah, I really ought to sit somewhere where I'm not going to interfere with other people's enjoyment. Just a simple sort of analogy, but being aware of other people can change people's lives. Sometimes I think that, like when people come in here, and perhaps for the first time, I mean, I realised, like, Ruth came in recently. And until she gets to know us, she perhaps would feel like a fish out of water. Who are these people? All right, she knows Louise, but nobody else. So how do we become aware to just make her feel at home? Make her feel comfortable and welcome and warm? Because one of the things about belonging is feeling the warmth of belonging. And when you first come through the door, especially if you don't know anybody, it can be quite a daunting prospect. Just coming through the door, you think, oh yeah, it's a church. Everybody should love me. And And you come through the door and everybody turns around. And you feel so self-conscious because you've just come through the door. But it's nice if somebody just goes and welcomes them and brings them in. Now, we all tend to be different in how quickly we can get to know people, but just to go and initially welcome someone breaks the ice. Because they see a friendly face, and see somebody that's reaching out to them. And then over a time, we can get to know people better. And hopefully, you know, Ruth's getting to know us and we're getting to know you. If anybody ever has a problem and feeling that they're on their edge and they don't want to be, come and tell somebody. Because we don't want that to happen. It goes against everything that we stand for. If somebody's coming to church to join us in worship, they need to feel welcome, and they need to feel at home, and they need to feel they belong. So we need to be aware, we need to get wisdom and understanding. Because in verse 16, as I said, it says, long life is in her right hand. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. It's bringing us into peace again. Bringing us into peace. Every time we are going to God to get our information, it's bringing us back into peace as a result. Something happens to the stress levels. The stress levels go because we're not carrying it all ourselves anymore. And it says, verse 18, it says, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. And you hear so many people now say, oh no, it all happened by chance. The most recent thing I've heard is, they still say all happened by a big explosion. But they've now, was it you, Andrew, said something about that? They've now deciding that the universe is flat.
Yeah.
Right? Wherever it extends out, it's sort of flat. Now, if you've ever seen an explosion, an explosion doesn't go out flat. An explosion goes out everywhere.
Yeah.
In all directions. So I'm not sure where that's going, that one. But it says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew. God created heavens. The heavens and the earth. He created them. My son, let them not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Another word coming in there, discretion. Discretion. That's learning what not to say, as well as what to say. It says, so they will be life to your soul. Sound wisdom and discretion will be life to your soul. These are life-giving things. See, recipes and what they produce. How wonderful. An adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely. Secure. That's a good one for this day and age, isn't it? Everybody has been thrown into insecurity. Everybody is turned upside down with the financial turmoil and one thing and another, and the way that things seem to be disintegrating. But it says, you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. Now this is good. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. You know, when you're wrapped up in fear, and I speak from experience, one of the worst places is when you lie down in bed at night. and it all comes flooding back. And all the turmoil starts going. And you're trying to sleep, and your mind's going round and round and round and round, and the stress level's rising, the fear level's rising. But God says, follow this, and when you lie down, you will not be afraid.
Yeah.
You will not be afraid. Because God's got it all in hand.
Yeah.
God's got it all in hand for Carol when she went into hospital. I saw Carol last week before she went. I didn't see her over the weekend when she went in. But, you know, Carol's got her courage.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that courage isn't just self-made.
Mm.
She's got a faith inside. You know, we there's none of us perfect. But when we reach out in faith, God touches at the point where we reach out.
Yeah.
He touches us there. And I'm sure God had got hold of Carol before she went into hospital. And he says, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Yeah. Wow, wonderful. Because your life is full of kindness. Your life is free of fear. Your life has peace in it. Yeah, you will lie down and have sweet, sweet sleep.
Amen.
Do not be afraid of sudden fear.
Yeah,
yeah, this is the flee or flight fear.
Mm.
Suddenly the adrenaline runs and you do not be afraid of sudden fear. God's telling us, don't be afraid. Nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence. The Lord will be your confidence. You don't need anything else. If God's your confidence, He's got your back covered. We don't have to chase. We don't have to chase. The Lord's our confidence. And will keep your foot from being caught. It will keep your foot from being caught. How wonderful is the Lord to us. I've got some other things, but I think we should just stop there. Because there's so much wrapped up in that proverb. There are other things we could look at. There's a wider healing that God talks about in terms of healing nations and what we need to do to heal the nations.
Mm.
What we can do to help with healing of other people.
Yeah.
And it's having God inside us first and just learning to walk in it.
Yeah.
It's great really that so much is put into one proverb there. That just helps us to get the whole together so that we can walk and learn and to move with Him instead of trying to paddle our own canoe and often failing and sometimes even capsizing. But God's got it all in hand. So let's just grasp hold and read it again at home. Just look in terms of what the recipe is and what the result is. All down there. I've highlighted. And the blue highlights are the recipe.
Yeah.
The yellow are the results of the recipe.
Yeah.
Read it and digest it. Soak it in. We might not always get it right, but if we go and get looking at the right recipe, we got to come up with the right product, aren't we? Amen. Praise God.